أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson number 48, Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 110 to 120. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You are the best nation. You, O Muslim Ummah, are the best nation produced for mankind. What do you do? تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. وتؤمنون بالله, and you all believe in Allah. ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم. If only the people of the scripture had believed, it would have been better for them. منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. Among them are believers, but most of them are defiantly disobedient. It is said that some of the Jews, they came up to the Muslims and they said that the religion that you're calling us to is not as good as ours. Our religion is better than yours. So we don't need your religion. So stop calling us to your religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, that you, O Muslim, are the best ummah. The religion that you have is the best religion. Kuntum خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You are the best nation. Why? Because أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, you have been produced for the people, for the good of people. And you enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And more importantly, you believe in Allah. This is why you are the best nation. كُنْتُم. The word كُنْتُم is a verb of past tense. And it literally means you were. What does it mean? You were. Does it mean that you were before and now you are not? You were the best nation before and now you are not? No. This is not what kuntum means. Kuntum gives a meaning of antum, meaning you are khayra ummatin. And this is something that is common in the Arabic language, and we see several examples in the Quran as well. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ata amrullah. The command of Allah has already come, past tense, meaning it will soon come. And why is a verb mentioned in the past tense when it hasn't actually happened yet? For different reasons. Sometimes it is to show the certainty of the event, that this is definite, this is definitely going to happen. And over here especially, it gives the meaning of dawam, perpetuity. It gives the meaning of ever and always. You have always been, and you will always remain, خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, the best nation. Just as with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn in the Quran, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. كَانَ literally means he was. But does it mean he was سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا? No. It means he is ever سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. He was, he is, and will be. So it gives the meaning of dawam, perpetuity. So kuntum khayra ummatin, meaning you have always been, you are, and you will always remain the best nation. This is your status in the sight of Allah. Now who does you refer to, by the way? There have been several opinions. Some have said that you all, he refers to those Muslims who participated in the Battle of Badr. It refers to the Ahlul Badr in particular. Others have said that you all over here refers to the Muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina. Others have said that no, it refers to all of the companions. And some have said that no, it doesn't just refer to all of the companions. Rather, it refers to the entire Ummah. The entire Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you, O Muslim Ummah, you are khayra ummatin, the best nation. Meaning you have been created and you have been found as the best nation. In the knowledge of Allah, you are the best nation, the best people. Why? Because أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, it has been produced for the people. Meaning the ummah that has been produced for the benefit of people. The word أُخْرِجَتْ is from خَرَجَ, and خَرَجَ literally means to come out. And خَرَجَ, خُرُوج, also means ظُهُور, to become apparent, to become visible, to become prominent. So أخرجت للناس, what does it mean by this? You have been produced, you have been brought forth. Why? للناس, for the benefit of people. You have been created, you have been produced, and you have been taken out and spread all over. Why? For the benefit of people. This shows that the Muslim Ummah is not just to benefit each other. Meaning the members of this Ummah, the people of this Ummah, are not just to benefit one another. But rather, they have been created, why? They have been chosen, why? So that they benefit an-nas, the entire mankind. And it also shows that the Muslim Ummah cannot just stay at home, cannot just live their own comfortable lives, but rather they have to go out there and benefit people. Because when you're just staying in your own house, when you're living your own personal comfortable life, then you cannot benefit people. But when you go out, then you can benefit people. And we learned that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, they did not stay in Medina. But all of them, what happened? They spread across the Muslim Empire. Why? In order to benefit the people. In order to benefit mankind. So, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You have been created, you have been produced, you have been brought forth, and you have been spread all over. Why? For the benefit of people. Not to earn dunya, not to serve dunya, not to exploit people, but linnas, lifa'idatin nas, in order to benefit people. And what is the best way of benefiting people? Or what is the most important benefit that you can give to people? To tell them about Kalamullah. To tell them about the word of Allah. People are chosen. When? Why? Not so that they earn dunya. Not so that they gain worldly status. But rather, a people are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can serve mankind. So that they can help mankind. So that they can tell people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it that the Muslim Ummah is supposed to do? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You must order, or you order, that which is ma'roof. Ma'roof is from the root letters عَيْنْ رَافَ. And عُرْف, عِرْفَان, is to recognize, that which is recognized, that which is acceptable, that which is approved. By what? By the intellect. Meaning you see something, or you know of something, and it's acceptable to you. It is not too strange. It is not wrong. Similarly, it is an action or it is a practice that is recognized and accepted by the Sharia, by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ma'roof is any action that is approved and acceptable to the aql as well as the Sharia, to the intellect, to the sound mind, as well as the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So, ma'roof does not just refer to, for example, praying salah or giving sadaqah. But ma'roof also means smiling. It also means speaking the truth, being honest, not littering around. Ma'roof includes all of that. So ta'muruna bil ma'roof, you order that which is ma'roof, meaning anything that is good for people, anything that is beneficial for people, that is what you tell people to do. And at the same time, وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. تَنْهَوْنَ is from the root letters نُون هَا يَا, from the word نَهِي. And the word نَهِي means to stop someone, to forbid. As I've mentioned to you earlier, that this is fair, and this is نَهِي, meaning it's a prohibition. Like for example, لَا تَأْكُلُوا, لَا تَقُولُوا. What is that? فِعْلْ نَهِي, meaning it's a prohibition. So تَنْهَوْنَ, you all prohibit. What do you prohibit? عَنِ الْمُنْكَ, from that which is munkar. Munkar is from the root letters نُون كَافْرَ, and نُون كَافْرَ gives the meaning of that which is denied. It's the opposite of عُرْف, عِرْفَان. So إِنْكَار is from the same root letters. And what does it mean? To deny something. When something is not acceptable. When something is disapproved. So what is munkar? An action or a practice that is denied by the intellect as well as the Sharia, as well as the Deen of Allah. So Munkar is, for example, lying, not praying Salah, not giving Zakat, littering around. What is this? Munkar. So what do you do, O Muslim Ummah? تَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرْ. You stop the people from doing Munkar. What does it mean by this? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرْ. This part of the ayah has been understood in two ways. First of all, it has been said that this is a condition. This is a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning for being the best ummah, for being khayra ummah. That you are khayra ummah, ukhrijat linnas, but when do you become khayra ummah? When you meet these requirements, when you do these things. Which is why Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that whoever wishes that he should be from this ummah, whoever wishes that he should be from khayr ummah, he should fulfill the condition that Allah has laid concerning it. Because many Muslims are proud of being Muslims. They're proud of being of the Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But unfortunately, many of them, they don't fulfill this condition. Umar radiallahu anhu said, whoever wishes to be of the khayra ummah, then what should he do? He should fulfill the condition that Allah has laid concerning it. Secondly, it has been said that تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is actually praise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the khayra ummah. That you are the khayra ummah. And what's the best thing about you? What's the best thing about you? That you tell people to do that which is right and stop them from doing wrong. And most importantly, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you all believe in Allah. تُؤْمِنُونَ from Iman. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah. What does it mean by this? That when you do these actions, when you do such things, what? That when you tell people to do that which is right and stop them from doing that which is wrong, automatically what's going to happen? Your Iman is going to increase. Correct? Your Iman is going to increase. And also وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ shows the importance of Iman. Because there are many people who command that which is right and stop that which is wrong. Even if that right and wrong is not according to the Sharia, but it is something that is acceptable to the Aql, that which the Aql recognizes. For instance, many people, you know, they promote truthfulness, honesty, loyalty, fulfilling promises, right? But what is it that makes you special? The fact that you believe in Allah. What is it that makes you khayra ummah? The fact that you believe in Allah. We see that there are many nations, many people, many communities that exist in the world today, and they have also existed in the past, and they will exist in the future. There are many nations that are mentioned in the Quran, and there are many nations that have been left out. But what makes the Muslim ummah special, what makes the Muslim ummah different from all other nations, are their qualities that have been mentioned over here. Which qualities? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. These qualities. These qualities make the Muslim ummah special. And if you notice, it is because of these qualities that the Muslim ummah is khayra ummah. It is the best nation. There are many nations that have progressed, or they are progressing. But their progression, their success in the dunya, is not to serve mankind. If you look at it, many nations, they are progressing economically, politically, in so many different ways. But their progression is not in order to benefit people. There are some other motives. For instance, it is just to establish their own supremacy over other people. Or it is to earn more dunya. It is to become the world's most powerful nation. The world's most richest nation. There is some other objective. But the reason why the Muslim ummah is special is because they have been created. They have been ukhrijat. Why? in order to serve mankind, in order to help other people. That is the purpose of the Muslim Ummah, to benefit humanity, to well wish for mankind. How? Through Amr bil Ma'ruf, through Nahi anil Munkar, and through Iman Billah. And also, if you look at it, there are many actions that are done for the welfare of people, to benefit people. Many things are done. For instance, providing shelter, feeding the hungry, providing education, providing healthcare, creating awareness, counseling. So many things are done for the welfare of people. But all of these things that are done for the welfare of people, they only benefit people in this world, in this life, temporarily. But the Muslim Ummah has been told that when you benefit the people, yes, you should focus on all of these things, but most importantly, you should tell everybody to do ma'roof and stop everybody from munkar. Why? Because this is not just going to help the poor person once or twice, but it's going to help the poor person for his entire life, and also benefit them in the akhirah. Because you are creating awareness. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. What is this? Creating awareness. Making people use their reason. Making people conscious about their actions. So one is that you go and feed a hungry person, yourself. And the other is that you tell other people to feed hungry. When you go and feed one hungry person, you will only make one change, temporary change. But when you're telling 50 people to feed the hungry, what's going to happen? 50 more hungry people are going to be fed. So this is what makes Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar the best way of helping mankind, the best way of serving mankind. Because then the benefit is not limited to a limited number of people, but rather the benefit multiplies. The people who are benefiting, they increase in their number. And obviously, this benefit, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, this is something that doesn't just benefit people in this dunya, but it also benefits them in the akhirah. You could help for the healthcare, you could help sponsor for the healthcare of one or two people in this dunya. People are suffering from some sickness, some disease, some illness, and you pay for their healthcare. Okay, they will live a peaceful life for a few more years. But if somebody ends up in the hellfire, can you help them then? No, you cannot. The only way you can help them is by helping them today. By helping them today. So this is true well-wishing for the people. That you're not just concerned about what they eat, about what goes in their bellies, what is on their bodies, but rather what their future will be like, what their akhirah will be like. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ. And if you look at it, the entire ummah, the entire Muslim ummah has been given this responsibility. That all of you have to command that which is right and forbid that which is wrong. It's not just the responsibility of quote-unquote the government. It's not just the responsibility of a few individuals, of some volunteers. No, but every single member of this ummah is obligated with this responsibility. That they have to order that which is right and forbid that which is wrong. Because only then can mankind benefit in general. And who was given this responsibility before the Muslims? The Ahlul Kitab. So over here Allah says, وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. And if the people of the book had believed. لَوْ. What does لَوْ mean? If only. It indicates a wish. And it also indicates a condition. If only the people of the book had believed. Did the people of the book not believe? Were they not believers? They believed in Allah. They believed in some of the messengers of Allah. They also believe in the angels. They also believe in the day of judgment. They also believe in some scriptures. So what is mentioned over here? If only they had believed. Weren't they already believers? Huh? What is being mentioned over here then? What is being said over here? Basically, if they had the iman that is matlub, if they had the required iman, if they fulfilled all of the conditions of iman. And what does that mean? That you believe in not to some prophets, but all of them. Not to some scriptures, but all of them. And upon believing, what should a person do? What should a person do? Upon believing, what should he do? Act upon it? What else? He should also tell other people about it, because that is what shows the conviction that he has. Huh? If you learn of some very good recipe, or if you learn of some very good technique, or a learning habit, or a study tip, what happens? If you really like it, if you have really benefited from it, if you really have yaqeen that this is the right thing to do, what are you going to do? You're also going to tell other people about it. You're also going to do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. And if you don't tell other people, what does it show? What does it show? That you yourself are not certain. You yourself are not confident about what you have gained. So walau amana ahlul kitab, what it means is that if they had the iman that was matlub, meaning they fulfilled all of the conditions of iman, that they believed in the last messenger as well, and upon believing, they did not keep the truth to themselves, but rather they went on benefiting the people. They went on benefiting the people. In the previous verses, we had learned that there are some people of the book, if you trust them, even with the dinar, he will not give it back to you. Why? Because what does he say? That we are not responsible for our injustice against those who are not of us. So what does that show? That they were only concerned about themselves and not mankind. They did not fulfill the conditions of being the best nation. So walau amana ahlul kitab lakana khayran lahum. Surely it would have been better for them. What would have been better for them? Iman would have been better for them. How? That they would also be khayra ummah. They would also be the best nation. It would have been better for them in this dunya and also in their akhirah. Minhumul mu'minun. From them, from the Ahlul Kitab, there are some who believe. Like who? Like Abdullah ibn Salam. But there are only some people who believed. Only some people who had the correct iman, who fulfilled the requirements of iman. وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. But most of them are those who cross limits. Most of them are defiantly disobedient. فَاسِقُونَ is a plural of فَاسِق. And who is فَاسِق? خَارِجْ عَنِ الطَّاعَةِ. One who gets out of the realm of obedience. One who does not obey and disobeys. أَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. What does it mean by this? Most of them are defiantly disobedient, meaning they don't believe. They don't believe. They don't spread the message to other people. And it refers to those of the Ahlul Kitab who remained kafirun after the Prophet ﷺ came. Now we see in this ayah that the Muslim Ummah has been told that you are the best nation. And according to one opinion, as I mentioned to you, that it refers to the Sahaba. In particular, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But yes, they are the ones who are primarily addressed in this ayah. However, by extension, it also applies to the rest of the ummah. Because a condition has been placed that you are the best nation when you command that which is right, forbid that which is wrong, and believe in Allah. We call ourselves the Muslim ummah. We're very proud of the Muslim ummah. But we also have to fulfill the conditions of being the best ummah. We say that we're the Muslim ummah, we're very proud of it, but we also have to fulfill the conditions of being the best ummah, of being the Muslim ummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of my nation, the best of my nation is who? My generation. The best of my nation, the best of the Muslim Ummah is who? My generation, meaning the generation of the companions. Then those who follow them. And then those who follow them. So what does this mean? What does this mean? That the Sahaba were the best nation, and then after them, that was the best generation, and after them, that was the best generation. What made the Sahaba the best generation? Because they did تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. They did all of these three things. And also, their deen was that of sacrifice. Their deen was that of sacrifice. The ummah that we see today, so many people being Muslim, so many people reciting the Quran, the fact that we have so many copies of the Quran, the fact that we know of so many ahadith, this is not something that was known to the companions. This was not something that was present at the time of the Sahaba. What did they face? They faced opposition. They faced a lot of fear. For instance, if we look at the companion Mus'ab ibn Umair, he was of the elite of Mecca, one of the richest people of Mecca. And he was very young. And as you may have learned about him, that he used to wear imported garments. And one garment that he would wear, he would never repeat it again. Like some people, they don't like repeating their clothes. He would literally wear one imported garment only once, never again. And he would have the most unique fragrances. And he would wear so much fragrance that whenever he passed by some place, the people knew this must be Mus'ab ibn Umair. He must have gone from here. Because he used to wear a lot of it, and it was also very unique that people knew that only Mus'ab could have something like this. And when he became Muslim, what happened? He lost everything. And when did he die? Very soon. Very soon. In Medina, soon after he passed away. Right? He was killed in one of the battles. He was a martyr. Did he see the conquest of Mecca? Did he? No. Did he see the Muslims being successful? No. Did he see Islam being established? No. So this is why he was of the best nation. Because his deen was that of sacrifice. His deen was sincere. And the Sahaba, as we learned at the beginning of the fourth juz, the ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, as soon as they heard the commands of Allah, as soon as they learned of the commands of Allah, what did they do? They obeyed right away. They obeyed right away. This is what Allah wants from me? Here, this is what I'm going to do. They obeyed immediately. What do? We delay, we procrastinate. What is it that made them the best nation, the best generation? Their sacrifice and their amal, their actions. We, on the other hand, we're very proud of our heritage, but we don't follow the example of our predecessors. And we're just proud about the fact that we are the Muslim Ummah. But what's the condition? That you have to do something. You have to do something, not just to benefit yourself, but also to benefit mankind. And the sacrifices that the Sahaba made, they didn't just benefit them, but they also benefited many generations after them, even till today. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not abuse my companions, for if any of you were to spend gold equal to mountain of Uhud in charity, it would not equal a handful of one of them, or even half of that." If one of you were to spend gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, that would not be the same as the spending of the Sahaba, even if the spending of the Sahaba were just a handful of something. Why? Because what they gave was pure sacrifice. What they gave was out of pure sincerity. So therefore, they are the best nation. But the Prophet ﷺ said that there will always remain a group of people from among my ummah till the day of judgment who will invite to the good and forbid what is wrong. Until the day of judgment, there will always remain a group of people. And what will they do? Invite to that which is good and forbid that which is wrong. So basically, we have been told that if you want to be of the best ummah, if you want to be the best in the sight of Allah, then you can be. But how? You have to do something. And what is it that you have to do? Command that which is right and forbid that which is wrong. Now there are many things that we have learned in the Quran so far. But what is our reaction? First of all, we have to see that do we actually practice those things? Do we actually observe those commands ourselves? Because if we don't observe them ourselves, how can we tell other people to? You have to practice what you preach. So first of all, we have to see what are we doing. And then, are we telling other people about it or not? Similarly, there are many things that we have learned about that we must not do them. We must stay away from them. So we have to check ourselves. Am I staying away from it? If I myself am not staying away from it, how can I stop other people from doing it? So first of all, we have to see what are we doing, and only then we can tell other people about it. Yesterday we learned about the ayat of ikhtilaf, that be together and do not differ from one another. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not differ from one another, do not separate away from each other. Stay united, be united. But what happens when somebody tells us to do something that is right, or when somebody stops us from that which is wrong? What is our reaction? What is our reaction? Mind your own business. My dealing is with my Lord. I have to answer myself. You don't have to answer for me. So, please, mind your own business. Don't tell me. And sometimes we know that what the other person is telling us is actually right, but we don't like it. We don't like it. When we're told, don't do this or do this, we don't like it. So how can we take the next step and tell other people about it? And if we don't tell other people about it, how can we claim that we are the best nation? We can only be the best nation when we fulfill these conditions. And we can only fulfill these conditions when we ourselves act upon the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. What do we learn about the believers? What is their reaction when the command of Allah is presented to them? In Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 2, Allah says, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِدَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. If somebody is telling you, Allah is calling you, Allah is telling you, Allah said this, what should our reaction be? What should our reaction be? Who are you to tell me? No. He is mentioning Allah. That person is telling me about what Allah has commanded me. So when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And when His verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith, not in turning away, not in saying, mind your own business. And upon their Lord, they rely. On the contrary, what is the way of the hypocrites? فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They don't believe except very little. When they're told, do this, they don't listen. When they're told, stay away from this, they don't do it. They don't conform. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So, we have to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us the best nation over here. But there is a condition that has been placed. And we can only fulfill that condition when we ourselves follow the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. If you notice in this ayah, that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar has been mentioned before Iman Billah. Isn't it so? If you look at the ayah, what has been mentioned first? Ta'muruna bil Ma'ruf, then Tanhauna al Munkar, and then Tu'minuna Billah. Correct? How come Iman is mentioned right at the end? Isn't it the first thing? Isn't it the first thing? If a person does all the righteous deeds and he does not believe, are they going to be accepted? No. So how come Iman is mentioned third? Why isn't it mentioned first? Because it shows that these two actions are necessary for the completion of Iman, for the perfection of Iman. Your Iman cannot be complete, your Iman cannot reach the level of perfection until and unless you do these two things. But our problem is that so many things go on around us and we say, doesn't matter, it's okay. We don't bother doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. And still we claim to be believers. We say it's the other person, it's his problem, it's his business, let him do it, what have I got to do with it? Everybody has their own personal decisions, and if they've decided this for themselves, let them do it. Why should I interfere? And unfortunately, today we have this concept that don't tell me anything and I'm not going to tell you anything. Huh? You mind your own business, I will mind my own business. People are living together under the same roof, but if they're asked, have you prayed? They mind. They don't like being asked, have you prayed? If they're reminded it's time for salah, they don't like being reminded. If they're reminded, read your adhkar, they don't like being reminded. So how can we be of the best nation? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees an undesirable thing, what should he do? He should change it by his hand. This is the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you're doing amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, what should you think? This is something that Allah requires of me, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also commanded me to do. Whoever sees an undesirable thing, what should he do? He should change it by his hand. And remember, munkar is not just something that is against the sharia. Okay? Definitely it is something that is against the sharia, but it also includes that which is against the benefit of people. So for example, if somebody is putting dirty dishes in the cupboard, if somebody is not washing the dishes properly, what should you do? What should you do? Just say, don't say anything, otherwise they're not going to like it. Huh? But instead you should discuss with your friends. She doesn't even know how to wash dishes. Is that what we should do? No. What is a proper way? Change it with your hand. If you cannot do that, if that is not appropriate, if you're too scared of doing that, then what should you do? Use your tongue. If he does not have the power to do that, then he should change it by his tongue. And if he does not even have that power, then he should regard it as evil in his heart. But we say, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's their choice. It's their decision. It's their personal life. I'm not going to interfere. But what did the Prophet say? That if a person only regards it as evil in his heart, this is the weakest form of faith. And if a person does not even regard it as evil in his heart, then what is that faith? What is that faith? If you say it's okay, if you say it's their choice, it's their decision, let them do whatever they're doing, what does that mean? What kind of iman do I have? Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
When we tell somebody about something, when we tell somebody to do something and they don't listen to us, how do we feel? Very bad. They don't respect us. They don't care about me. They don't listen to me. We feel very bad. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed, and we claim to love Allah, why don't we feel bad then? Why not? If somebody doesn't listen to us, we mind so much. And if somebody doesn't listen to Allah, we say, it's that person's own choice. We say, it's okay, it's their decision, let them do whatever they want. No. If we claim to love Allah, then how can we tolerate someone disobeying Allah? How can we tolerate someone not obeying Allah? This kind of a claim is false then. If you truly claim to love Allah, then you will never tolerate anybody disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn about him in Surah Al-Kahf, that فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Then perhaps you would kill yourself through grief over them. Why? If they do not believe in the message. That you deliver the message to them and they're not believing, out of sorrow, you would kill yourself. This is the kind of state or the kind of sorrow that the Prophet ﷺ would experience when the people would not listen, when the people would not believe. Why? Because the people were disbelieving in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was being disrespected, and the Prophet ﷺ could not tolerate that. And also at the same time, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, for the benefit of people. If you truly well wish for people, then you want good for them. Right? If you truly well wish for people, what does it mean? You want good for them. You don't want them to do anything that's going to harm them. You want them to do that which is going to benefit them. If somebody is making a crazy decision with regard to their money, with regard to their health, with regard to their life, what do? We stop them. But if somebody is making a wrong decision, a wrong choice in their religion, what do we say? Difference of opinion. We say it's their choice. But the fact is that amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar, what does it show? That you are sincere to Allah and you are also sincere to people. You well wish for the deen of Allah and you also well wish for the people. Ukhrijat lin nas. Both are important. And if a person says, no, let people do whatever they want to do, don't tell them, don't remind them, then what does it show? That a person is self-centered. A person is selfish. He only cares about himself. He only cares about his personality or how people perceive him, how people look at him. That's all that he's concerned about. That if I tell people, if they mind, I'm not going to look as good anymore. But the fact is, when a person wishes good for people, when the person wishes good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he cannot tolerate people disobeying Allah. For their sake, and also for Allah's sake. This is why this ummah is khayra ummah. And sometimes, when we tell people about that which is good, when we stop them from doing that which is wrong, what happens? We face opposition. People say, stop, don't tell me, I know better. People do that, they don't want to listen. So out of this fear, sometimes we don't tell them. Out of this fear, we don't tell them. But our responsibility is that we have to keep reminding people. Because sometimes people know, and still they don't care. They don't realize. But if we keep reminding them, you never know. Sometimes they might get it. Anything you'd like to say before we conclude here? The thing is that whenever we see people doing something that is wrong, we only get emotional. But we don't do anything. We don't stop them. We don't tell them. But we only get emotional. We react. We become angry. We become frustrated. And then that's it. We will go backbite for some time. We will take our frustration out. We will start becoming rude. But we will not tell the other person the mistake that they have made. We will not tell the other person about the wrong thing that they have done. But what is it that we should do? Just tell them about the wrong that they have done. Tell them to do that which is right. Because that is really going to reform the situation. If you don't tell them, it's possible they'll never realize, they'll never find out, and they will continue the wrong, and you will continue being frustrated. For instance, when people are living together, a person is not cleaning or not vacuuming properly, and you get frustrated in your heart, they never do this properly. Every time they don't do it properly, you get frustrated. But if you tell them, maybe they'll see the corner that they leave every time. Maybe they'll see it. It's possible they never noticed it. It's possible they don't see the importance of cleaning that corner. But if you tell them, if you show them, they will realize. And if you don't tell them, you're only going to harm yourself. Similarly, this is also another reaction that commonly people fall prey to, that when they see wrong around them, or when they see the absence of good around them, they just want to cut themselves off from everything. They just want to seclude themselves. I can't go there because I cannot tolerate people doing that which is wrong. I cannot go there because I cannot tolerate them not doing this. But the fact is that we haven't been told in this ayah that you stay in your own community, stay in your own house, but rather, ukhrijat linnas, that you have been taken out of your homes, out of your comfort zones. Why? So that you can go out, see the people, talk to the people, benefit the people, tell them to do that which is right, and stop them from doing that which is wrong. And you cannot do that when you're living alone, when you're living by yourself, cutting yourself off from the people. A very good example is that if there is a child who is doing something wrong, a small child is doing something wrong, you're not just going to sit there and get upset or react or just scream, because sometimes you will scream and the child will not get it. They will not understand. What are you going to do? You're going to go and stop them with your hand. And if they're old enough to understand, you will stop them with your tongue. And you will not just consider it bad in your heart. Because if you only consider it bad in your heart, what's going to happen? The child is going to harm himself. Ukhrijat linnas, for the benefit of people. If you know somebody, it's easier to tell them. Because you know them and you know what they will like, you know what they will not like, you know how to speak with them. But there's somebody who you don't know, if there's a stranger and they're doing something wrong, then how do you speak to them? Do you not care about their feelings? No, you do care about their feelings, and you talk to them in a way that is appropriate, in a way that they will accept. Sometimes it is done verbally, and sometimes it can be done by, you know, giving a handout, giving a piece of paper with something written on it. So depending on the situation, you can do different things. But you should be concerned about how the other person is going to accept it. And according to that, you should give the message. Because remember, as we learned yesterday, that if you're stopping somebody is going to lead them to greater evil, then you should not stop them. So you have to use wisdom as well when dealing with people. Which is why one of the best ways is that if you keep, like many people do, they keep different pamphlets, different flyers in their bag whenever they go out, and whenever they find the opportunity, they tell people. So could be different ways that you could tell them. But depending on who the person is. You can only do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar when you yourself know what Ma'ruf is and what Munkar is. If you don't know what Ma'ruf is, if you don't know what Munkar is, then how will you tell people about it? How can you stop people from it? You cannot. So it shows that gaining knowledge first is the most important thing.